You're listening to Rock at Night. Rock at Night.
Tampa Earl hanging out with you, and I've got a very special guest, one of the true legends of rock and roll. I am speaking with the songwriter, drummer, vocalist for the band Triumph, Gil Moore. Gil, what an honor it is to meet you and be able to sit down and talk with you.
Thanks, Earl. It's great to be here. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great today. This is one of the highlights of my week, to be honest with you. The thing is that I would definitely want to get this on record first. The tour is only a couple of months away. How are the preparations going for Triumph with the 50th anniversary tour?
Great. We're lucky here with Metalworks. We've got great facilities to record and rehearse in. And, you know, Rick and I have been going at it, you know, tooth and nail. It's been great. Really having a lot of fun. And Todd is, Brent is flying in next week, excuse me, first. And then Todd and Phil are flying in the following week. So, you know, we're going to have full band rehearsals here. And then now, I don't know if you know, we actually are doing a few shows in Florida prior to the Canadian run supporting Make-A-Wish. And so the nice thing, I guess, is we'll be rehearsing down there in the sunshine, albeit indoors, but nonetheless, we'll be in the Florida sunshine for the bulk of the rehearsals where we have our production out. So it's it's going great.
Yeah, that's going to be a really big deal for us down here. I know that April 10th, you're going to be in Orlando at the Hard Rock Live there at Universal. The 13th, then, on April 13th, you're going to be heading over to the Hard Rock Live's Hollywood, Florida. So you've got two great venues there to kind of get things warmed up before you kick into the Canadian end of the tour.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, the rest of the tour, it's mostly arenas and amphitheaters, but I've never played in a Hard Rock before, so I'm looking forward to that. But I guess more than anything down there is the good folks at Make-A-Wish, which is a great organization.
Trying
to bring some dreams home for some kids. And you know, we're really honored that they would have us as part of that whole presentation and that week-long celebration that they do, the big car show and everything. And we're just hoping that we can, you know, help the cause. And make some dreams come true. We're trying to work on some ideas actually for some young people, so to collaborate on with the organization. But that'll be really a great association in Florida.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time for everybody. But one thing that's on my mind: 50 years. Did you in 1976 envision being where you are today, not only, you know, professionally yourself, but with Triumph as the band?
Not in a million years. The rearview mirror is an interesting thing for all of us in life. And I've been really blessed. My whole experience with Triumph and so on. And I think Mike and Rick would agree with us. You know, we were young guys. We're just, you know, playing in bands that were struggling, as all bands do when they start out. And we were lucky to find each other and then find an audience, or have the audience find us. And then all of a sudden the thing took off. And, you know, I think any band that succeeds, it's generally against all odds. You're generally rolling a boulder uphill, are grateful. And I know, maybe we're the most grateful for our fans who have been so incredibly loyal to us all these years. And, you know, of course they've been after us as the Live Nation has, to get on the road. And we said, no, 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 no. And then we finally have said, yes. It was funny how it all came together through the National Hockey League finals and us getting together in Edmonton, which was really, you know, a hockey exploit to, you know, work with the NHL. So we were all All Canadians are frustrated NHL players. I know, like, speaking for myself, I was bound and determined to be on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we know how that all worked out. So going out there and was a great experience to get close to the hockey, and who knew the band was going to just gel the way it did, and then who knew, Live Nation was on our door 24 hours later, like, let's go, let's go. And you get caught up in it, your family gets out there, and all my kids are like, come on, Dad, let's do it. It's just a whole bunch of enthusiasm from the fans, from the NHL, from Live Nation, Rogers, like, you put it all together, and there's just this tsunami of enthusiasm. It's hard to say no to something like that. And yeah, to your point, 50 is a magic kind of number. The fact that our fans would stay loyal all these years, we're lucky that we're able to play, and we're able to do this and have the fun that we're going to have, and hopefully make some people happy along the way. And I feel blessed.
Now, you talked about how the NHL thing kind of drew you three back together again. I look back at something else that might have been the impetus for this 50th anniversary tour. That was the documentary that was done about Triumph. And personally, I think it was one of the finest documentaries done as far as a rock and roll band goes. But it really showed the band's history and kind of pulled you back together originally.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that analysis, Earl. And there were a number of things. By the way, we're going to be filming I guess a sequel or a stage two to the documentary around this.
I'm looking forward to
That's
that
upcoming.
then.
It was really a series of stepping stones. Like, I was working with our lighting director. I've done a lot of interviews where I said we're building a mixed reality platform for Triumph, and that was true. We were doing that, but as we were doing that, as you say, things happened, like the Songwriters Hall of Fame happened. The documentary came out. We were really taken aback by the outpouring of emotion from the audience, not just in the doc at that Superfan event, but like from people in the community talking to us after the fact. And then our record company decided that they wanted to do a tribute album. And that again, like, just put so much wind in our sails, because we had all these great musicians who we're fans of, and here they are, like, laying down tracks on a Triumph tribute album. Without these things happening, without Mike Klink, for example, the tribute album, I don't think would have happened. He's just a great producer. People have confidence in him, and he has all the connections with all the great musicians, and they're people that we know by reputationally, we know them, but Mike actually has experience because he's recorded them, So a lot of stepping stones there. And then the hockey NHL blow up here in Canada, as I'll call it, explosion around Triumph. You couldn't predict this. This was just, something that happens in a windstorm. Yeah, and then the band hitting it off. I mean, I guess that's the last thing. Like, Rick and Phil, for example, playing together for the first time. I mean, talk about a double-barreled shotgun. I mean, that's what I call them. They're, when I'm playing behind those two guys, I'm like, oh, this is some serious guitars right in front of me, And never worked with Todd before. Todd is a rock star of all rock stars. I mean, he could be the lead singer, front man. He could control the show himself. He's so good. And Brent Fitz, I mean, he played on the tribute album. Mike said this guy's a fantastic drummer, as they all were. Tommy Aldridge was on there, Kenny Aronoff, and Brent. And when I met him, I had no idea. Like, he was so technical and into the instrument. A little bit of a get in the weeds guy like me, like, likes to know how things work. So we really, we hit it off. I nicknamed him the King. So double drummers, never done it before, but we did it in Edmonton. It was really cool. And so we decided to do it. Give me a little more elbow room to sing a bit more, maybe. And he's a great keyboard player, so we need some keyboards. So it's going to be quite an interesting musical ensemble. And if Mike gets out with us, we'll be a six-piece power trio. If he's able to make it. If not, it'll be the five of us for the most part, and Mike when we can get him out.
And this is something to emphasize for the fans who are trying to decide whether to come out for the show tonight. This is a triumph show.
Oh,
This is
100%.
not a tribute. This is not,
No.
people coming on. This is a triumph show.
People don't believe what you read online.
Exactly,
Listen, go
exactly.
to the triumphmusic.com or go to Live Nation. That's you'll actually find out what the facts are.
Give and take the best that you can. something's at the edge of your mind. You don't know what it is. Something you were hoping to find. You're not sure what it is. Then you hear the music and it all comes crystal clear. The music does the talking and says the things you ought to hear.
Tampa Earl back once again with Gil Moore, the vocalist, drummer, songwriter for the band Triumph. We spoke about it before we played a couple songs there, but that tribute album pulled people out of the woodwork that you might not have expected would have been Triumph fans. I mean, the Sebastian Bach take on Rock and Roll Machine was just awesome.
Yeah, Sebastian's played... We've known because he's a Canadian, we've known Sebastian for years. He's played Rock and Roll Machine with us live on stage several
Okay.
times. Right. So he had a head start on that. But my God, you're right. Like the musicians that are on there, you know, the vocalists, Mickey Thomas from Starship. I mean, one of
Nancy Wilson.
oh, Nancy Wilson, Dean Castronovo, the best drumming singer in the planet is Dean Castronovo. You know, Slash on guitar, of course, and you know, Todd and Brent are on there, and Phil's all over it. Phil was the first guy that Mike Klink called, and you know, for a reason. You know, Phil's a you know top session guy in Los Angeles on top of his Bon Jovi role, you know, and his history with us, obviously. So Phil was the first call, and Phil's kind of a magnet for other players because everyone likes working with Phil. As Rick and I do, so and Mike, so yeah, it was great how that came together. I feel very indebted to the musicians and also to Mike Klink. I mean, you know, his connections, you know, Joey Belladonna, you know, what a vocal he did, you know, Dee Snider, like I'm Larry Gowan from Styx, who's not only phenomenal in Styx, but I got to tell you, behind the scenes, when we decided to do this tour, the first guy I called was Larry Gowan, and I said, "Hey, Larry, you've been out there, man. Give me some tips." And he says, "What kind of tips do you want?" I said, "Just pretend I've never done it before and tell me what I need to know." So he's like, "You know what to do. You know how to tour." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I've been off the bus for a while. Like, I'm going back on. So, like, tell me what I need. What's changed, you know?" And so Larry's been a real big help. Like, he's played with us too, by the way. Not just on the tribute album. I mean, he's played live with us and stuff, and he's a dear friend. And my God, he's been tremendous help to me. He's a musician's musician. You know, not only on the keyboards, but also his vocals, like his understanding of voice and his understanding of music theory and performance. He's a master musician,
Yeah,
as are so
definitely.
many of these, you know. But you know, besides
Exactly.
the drummers, I didn't mention Tommy Aldridge, like one of my all-time favorites. I mean, there's
One thing I definitely wanted to ask you about, you were induct the band was inducted into the Canadian Music Industry Hall of Fame 2007, the Canadian Music Hall of Fame 2008, the Canada's Walk of Fame 2019. What about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Do you have ambitions for that, or would you be like, nah, we're good. We don't need that.
well, I don't know. You think we're one Hall of Fame short of a load? I don't know at this point. You know, the last one we did was Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame, which was this year. And every one of these is kind of like well, they're obviously a real honor. A couple of years before that, we did the Metal Hall of Fame, which is another lens into the you know what's gone on over the years. And each one to me is a special memory. Yeah, there's a you know you get a trophy or whatever. I look at that kind of like for my kids, you know, to see dad wasn't just sitting on the couch. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in America is yeah, they decide what they decide, however they decide it. It seems like there's a lot of controversy about who has been put in it and the definition of what rock and roll is, you know. I know our friend Ted Nugent has been very he's been a big proponent of you know some of the people that are omitted. I look at that and I think if he isn't in there, what the heck? He should be in there, and I don't think he is. So
No, he's not.
but I don't want to really worry about it one way or the other. It's
I
just
was going to say, it doesn't seem like you're going to lose sleep over it.
no,
You've had a 50-year career. You've been well decorated. You're not going to lose sleep if this doesn't happen.
If I was running the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I'm not, I mean, I would be more concerned about my own country. I'd be more concerned about, you know, the Americans being looked after appropriately. But maybe that's wrong. I mean, if you think about, you know, how I grew up in the business, so I learned, you know, as I think, you know, the bands that came after, the Beatles and the Stones and Led Zeppelin and so on, who got their roots, you know, from, you know, the bluesmen. And that's where I got my roots was from those the same American bluesmen that they did, you know. And but then latterly, you don't hear so much because the Beatles and the Stones become huge, Led Zeppelin becomes huge, and those are the sort of the influencers, I'll say. But they were the influencers. But in terms of a Hall of Fame, to me, you know, Howlin' Wolf gets in there before Led Zeppelin does, but people would probably disagree with me and say, no, Led Zeppelin gets in there. And I don't even know if Howlin' Wolf is in there, or
Off the
Albert
top of
King,
my head, I don't think he is.
or Albert King, or there's so many great American bluesmen that to me, these guys were, you know, they were the godfathers of a lot of these rock bands. You know, and I think most of the people in you know, rock bands that came after that benefited from those blues, I'll call them lessons, you know, lessons in groove, lessons in the soul within music and so on. God, if I listen to James Brown for a minute, I think I listened to him for, you know, 100 years. Couldn't get enough James Brown. So yeah, not just the I'll call it the Chicago or the Memphis bluesman, but you know, also the R&B side, you know, the great R&B musicians in America. Again, I think they are probably underrepresented in terms of maybe it's not as good TV or press or social media to honor some of those people, but to me they're the ones that really deserve it. You know, I still look at us as a bunch of young guys. You know, we're just a bunch of kids that came along, and now we're not kids anymore. But I still feel that way. I look back and I say, these are the guys. It's not us. It's them.
Well, I know one thing is you got the tour coming, and that's you got the 2 dates in Florida here, then you go through Canada through the rest of April and May. What comes next for Triumph? I mean, you talked about the part two for the documentary. What do you see coming with the band afterwards? Are we maybe coming up with some new material,
You
possibly?
know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but even though I generally am always ahead of myself, as Rick will remind me, don't get ahead of yourself, Gil. Seriously, I think we got to take it one step at a time. I feel really good about where this thing is headed because these guys that I'm playing with, I'm the luckiest guy in Dodge to play with the musicians I'm going to play with. So I feel like getting on stage is going to be great. But is there a phase two to the tour? Well, I don't know. Now we're getting bombarded by all the cities we're not playing.
Right,
I can't,
exactly.
I don't follow social media much, but you know, the little bit that I see, it's all about, well, why no Los Angeles? Why no that, you know, why no Portland? You know, why no New Haven, Connecticut? Why no Madison, Wisconsin? Well, it's not like we set out to not play places. You know, as we know, you know, Live Nation is the big machine, and then
It is, yeah.
they you know, they laid out a tour that it could have been endless, but you know, we said at the very beginning, like we really think that, you know, like 25 shows, that's a good number. This time around, just so that we can really get our sea legs on and you know, fine-tune as we're going along and learn from each other, but it doesn't mean that that's the end. I mean, I think they're already talking about a fall swing. So we'll see if this,
See how it works
well,
and
obviously the audience is there. They had to know that you know, tickets are going to sell, people are going to come out, you know, like we've been away for, you know, decades. So it's really nice to see the fact that the shows are doing well and that people want more shows in more locations. And I personally miss a lot of the secondary markets or the, you know, the tertiary regions, you know, not just in Canada, but, you know, we spent so much time in America getting to know the people in smaller, you know, towns. Earlier today, we were talking about Green Bay, Wisconsin, and markets like Saginaw and Kalamazoo around the corner in Michigan and Grand Rapids and places like that. And you know, I mean, there's just such great audiences throughout America. The salt of the earth is in many of these markets. And yeah, the big, you know, the LA, the New York, Dallas, Philadelphia, Chicago, they're fantastic. But I like to actually get out and be with the people. It seems like now, with touring being as expensive as it is, and the cost of the buses and the trucks, some of the bigger tours now they go into one venue and make everyone fly in. So
Right.
don't have to move the equipment, don't have to incur all the expenses with the stagehands. But I'm not criticizing why. I just feel like there's really something about musicians going to the people, playing for the people in their hometown, not making it convenient for us. So I'm inclined to want to go into the, as far as we can into the into all the states
Yeah.
wherever they will host us and play for the people in their hometowns.
And that is the thing. Bands are great, but you got to have the people. And you guys are always looking towards taking care of the people.
Well, I can't change history, and history, is that there was no internet. So when a band like Triumph or our counterparts, how they had to, work the room, so to speak, was you had to do it one radio station at a time, in one city at a time, in one audience at a time, and then over time, this cumulative effect would happen. And then sometimes you'd get something massive, like when we played the US Festival, where it's sort of bridges, it has the visibility, let's say, to bridge between all these different regions or even countries in that case. But generally speaking, it was a regional, music was a regional celebration. Whereas now, the way artists can break online and become a worldwide phenomenon in 24 months. In some cases not. In some cases, it toil away and toil away and toil away. But then suddenly, bang, there they are. Those things were not possible when we were touring. So that's where the ethos to go and meet with the people face to face, I guess, comes from. Can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Well, we know that it's going to be a great tour coming up beginning in April. Between you, I, and the internet, I'm looking at the Orlando show myself. So I'm looking forward to that tour. We've been talking with Gil Moore, the drummer slash vocalist slash songwriter for the band Triumph. Gil, thanks a lot for your time today.
Anytime, Earl. Enjoyed the chat and looking forward to seeing the sunny South, man.
You're listening to Rock at Night.